Hello everyone, I'm back. This is in response to Erin's question about reading and listening, reading Braille and listening to stuff on a computer, whether that's reading or listening. I think if I listen to a book, an audiobook, I say I'm reading it, but really I'm listening to it. However, if I need to learn some material and I've got it on a computer and I'm going down with the arrow keys, I say that's reading it. I don't know why. I think you're right. I think it's somewhere in between listening and actually reading physically. Now, I wouldn't say you're illiterate if you don't use Braille. I'm a Braille reader. I don't use it as much as I used to, mostly because speech software, I mean, obviously JAWS for the computer is expensive, but it's not as expensive as a Braille display. And it's voiceover is, you know, inbuilt into my iDevices. So that's basically free. Therefore, I choose mostly to use speech. And also, you don't have the storage problem with books that you have with Braille. However, where I think the problem lies is children in schools, if they aren't taught Braille and they're just taught to listen to JAWS or whatever on a laptop, because in schools nowadays, especially in the UK anyway, there's lots of pressure on kids to do tests and to reach certain standards by a certain age, and some of these things involve reading. They have a reading test. They have to sit and read out loud to somebody. Now, if you're arrowing down with your cursor keys, you aren't reading, you're listening, because although I've just contradicted myself, but as you say, it's somewhere in between, because you're not processing the words in the same way as you are if you see them on the printed page, or if you feel them with your fingers and they relay to your brain. I don't know if that makes sense, but so my problem is, if kids don't learn to read Braille in school, can they really read? Yes, they can access the material, but can their brain actually process words in the same way? Okay, they could spell the words out with the arrow keys. They could go through C-A-T, that says cat. Or whatever, but then you don't get a sense of how fluently they can read doing it that way, or actually, you wouldn't get a sense of the speed at which they can read, and the fluency. You may get a level of their understanding, and that they know how to spell, and then they know how to make letters into a word, but. This is the problem I have if children aren't being taught Braille, and it seems to be, some are in the UK, but it seems to be less and less, that they're growing up with just speech, and I do think that they're missing out somewhere along the line. Maybe it doesn't matter, I don't know, maybe it's not important, maybe I'm just being old-fashioned, but I think, no matter what you do for the rest of your life, whether you then never use Braille again, and whether you use speech for the rest of it. Like, I mean, I use speech most of the time, 99% of the time. I can still read because I learnt to read Braille. I've read lots of books in Braille. I know how to translate a written word through my form of my eyes, which is my hands, to my brain. Now, maybe people might say that listening transforms the words from your ears to your brain, but I still don't think it's quite the same. Because you don't work out what the words are in the same way. Your brain must process them differently to when you either feel them or see them. So I would say you're right that the computer is, you know, somewhere in between. It's not like listening to the radio program. It's not like reading either. It's a combination of both. I actually find learning in Braille easier than learning from a computer. To take something in, I find it easier to do it physically than to listen. I suppose I've only come onto computers in the last well, I don't know, quite a long time, because I've used them at work. I don't know, a long time, I suppose. Probably half of my life. But the first half of my life was all Braille. A bit of print at the beginning, but mostly Braille. And then I came on to speech. So I saw speech as a big bonus, but it never... In a way, it has taken the place of Braille, because, as I described, the practicalities of the expense and the storage issues, but it hasn't taken away my reading skills. I can still pick up a book and read as fluently with it in Braille as I could when I was 15. I'm a fluent Braille reader. Just because I don't do it very often doesn't mean I can't. It doesn't mean that I'm slow. I'm a slower reader now. I'm certainly not. I can still write on a Brailler as fast as I ever could. You know, you don't forget a skill like that, even if you don't use it from year to year. When you pick it up, you just go. I mean, I've done Braille shorthand, and even though I haven't used a shorthand machine for probably 20 years, I can still remember it in my brain that the contractions mean certain... Because in Braille, you've got grade 2, you've got different contractions. And in shorthand, everything's even contracted down even more. So, like, the sign for GH in grade 2 Braille is SP in shorthand Braille, English shorthand. So I can still remember that. And I could still do it if I was given a shorthand machine today. I could still write in shorthand. And it's not really to do with memory. I mean, it must be at a basic level, but... it comes automatically. So no, I don't think you're illiterate at all. I do think it must be difficult to have to write about that sort of thing when it's all geared up to a sighted person. About scanning and skimming, I would probably say the same thing. If I'm looking for particular phrases, I would use the find command in JAWS. And I tend to skim a web page, I must admit. I don't tab through it. When I've done some web testing for companies that like people to go along as guinea pigs and test out their new websites, they say familiarise yourself with the website. Now, some people tab around. Now, I don't ever do that. I never do that on a website. I always use the arrow keys because I feel it gives me a better look of the website. Oh yes, it'll tell me the links, but it'll tell me the blurb in between. With the tabs, you just get the links. So that's my way of skimming. Yes. That's how I always approach a new web page, is to use the arrow keys. If it's a web page I use a lot, I will use the find again to find a particular thing, so I don't have to... Tabbing is quite slow, I find, and the arrow keys can be if you've got to go right down to the bottom of the page. So again, I'll tend to use a word or a phrase or just a couple of letters. Like when I do my Tesco's delivery, grocery shopping online, I will... search for the word. Hold on a minute. I will search for the word favourites, so I can go on my favourites. But I won't put in the whole word. I'll just put FAV, and that will take me to my favourites. And then within favourites, you've got your last shop, your usuals, and all that. So I want to shop by my favourites, but by departments. So I do each separate favourites department. So I'll put in the word DEP. Another way I do navigate some websites, I know I've gone a bit off track now, but I'm just talking about scanning and skimming, not just in documents, but in web pages as well, is to use the L for the lists. It depends how the website's been designed. On something like Tesco's, there are lots of lists, so that can help. If you just keep doing L and it'll say 10 items, and then you go down with the arrow, you know how many, you know what part of the page you want, how many items are in the list if you use it enough. If you're familiar enough with it. Anyway, that's my thoughts. I don't think you're illiterate at all. I think you're just making the best of what's available out there. And we've had to adapt to move with the times, really. And you're younger than me. But even so, you know, everyone has to move with the times. And... I agree that there's a lot of, you know, here in toilets and stuff, there's Braille on the doors, but realistically, do people ever use it? Because Do you really want to be feeling round all the doors? If you go to a restaurant, you could, you know, if it's somewhere you don't know and you don't know where to go, are you going to really go out the back and start feeling all the doors just in case they've got Braille on them? I don't think so. On the trains here, we've got Braille on the buttons to press to open the doors. We've got close and open, and there's arrows. I don't know what help the arrows are, because there's an arrow one way. I don't know how, I suppose you learn which way. I still don't know, because I do tend to use the open and close on that one, because I do forget sometimes. And some trains it's different, you know, sometimes the close button is at the top and sometimes the open button's at the top. So I do use it in that situation, but I wouldn't use it on toilet doors. And the thing is, when you can't see, if there's Braille on buildings and stuff, you don't know it's there. So unless you go feeling the walls, you're not going to find it, are you? So although it's a nice idea, it's a bit counterproductive and it's a bit pointless in a way. It would be better if they did have it. Now, I used to go somewhere. Now, where was it? Somewhere where you, when you walked in, it spoke to you. It was a public building and I can't remember where it was. It would say, you have reached reception. To the right is the help desk. To the left are the lifts to the upper floors, or something like that. Oh, I know what it was. It was when I used to go to the local hospital with my son, because when he was young, he's very long-sighted, my older son, and he had a turn in his eye. He seems to have corrected it now, but he was going to have surgery on it, but then he decided, he was six, and he didn't want to go through the surgery, so I didn't force him. I thought, it's something if he wants to, he can sort out when he's older, or he can wear contact lenses, because he wears glasses. They gave me this thing. This was years ago. I mean, he's 20, 21, and he was about five then. I don't know what ever happened to it. It was like on a ribbon, and you put it around your neck, and it was like a little round thing about the size of the inside of the palm of your hand, the dented bit, but it was round. And that would activate when you, so because it didn't do it to everybody, because that's what I was thinking. It's going to drive people mad if every time someone walks in the door, the people that work in there, if they hear that all day long. But no, it was a thing I wore around my neck, and so it'd tell me directions. I think they had certain points in the building where it would talk and tell you where you were, which actually was quite helpful. I mean, I suppose that was the earliest version of a kind of GPS system, but it only worked in that building. I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah, that was really quite good. Because it would give you, if you went there for the first time, it gave you directions of where you can go to get help, or where you, if you knew where you were going, well, you know anyway, but it was still quite helpful, because if at various points around the hospital, I bet they haven't got it anymore, at various points around the hospital, it will tell you what's on each floor and stuff like that, and that was really helpful. So, yeah, that kind of thing would be more help than Braille, because you don't know where the Braille is and you don't know where to look for it. I think speech has replaced Braille in a lot of ways, but it hasn't really. It's taken over, but I would say I still prefer Braille, and I still prefer reading Braille, certainly, and learning from Braille. I get a lot of enjoyment. If I've ever bought new Braille books, I've got so excited when they've been delivered. I love the smell of the new books. You can't beat that. I don't care what anybody says, with your Kindles and your iPlayers and, not iPlayer, you know what I mean, iPad and laptops, nothing can detract from that, in my view. But I don't buy Braille books anymore. I had some, I had a few series, but they got damaged in the fire by smoke and I had to ditch them, and I haven't really got the room now. I'm on dialysis because I've got my boxes in all the spare cupboards, fluid boxes, so I haven't really got room. So if I decided to buy a Braille book, I would love to have a big place where I could have a Braille library. I would really love that. If I won the lottery, I would have a Braille library, no shadow of a doubt. I definitely would. And I would go in there and go through all the books and pull out the volumes randomly, which is what I used to do at school. We had a library. I would do that because I used to love doing that, and I would do that again. But anyway, hey-ho, I'm not a millionaire and probably never likely to be, so I'll round this up for now and speak soon. Battery permitting.